Will you pray with me, please? Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Your words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. Father, now, by your Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be wholly acceptable by thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, as we read our Bibles, we hear the letter to the Hebrews, an encouragement to the Hebrew people who have become Christian. And the author writes this: Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This morning we gather to celebrate our faith, the gift of faith that God has given us that has come through Jesus Christ. So we gather here to do that, and faith must be the goal. Because as we read Hebrews 11, by faith, Abel offered to God a sacrifice that was better than Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. By faith, Noah, in reverence, built an ark. By faith, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. And by faith, Sarah received the ability to conceive. These are pioneers of the faith. Their acts of faith are the foundation of our acts of faith. Let me say that again. Their acts of faith are the foundation of our acts of faith. Their acts of faith of the invisible word of God, of the audible word of God, became visible. In Hebrews verse 6, chapter 11, verse 6, it says this: And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, as people of faith, we're here today because we want to please God. So how? How do we please God? We do it by faith. So my question this morning for us is, okay, if faith is the goal, if life is by faith, how do I have more faith? How do I have some faith? How do I have faith that's active, powerful, that's helpful? How to have faith? Well, to answer that question, partly I turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. There, Paul, writing to the Christians, he said this: So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Let me read that again. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Now, as I've read that verse many times in many different versions of my life, I found that initially it was too easy to conflate that verse. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. Now, that's not wrong, but it's incomplete. You see, if that was complete, then that means that I could get in my car and put on my, whatever, however you stream these days, put on the Bible, and I could drive from here to California, listen to the Bible all the way. When I got back, I'd be a person of faith because I'd heard all the word of God. But it doesn't work that way. You know it doesn't work that way because together we have also heard many of the words of God, haven't we? So let me try to break this verse up for you just a second. It doesn't say hearing comes by the word of God. It says this: hearing comes by what God has said. Faith comes by knowing what God is saying. Let me say that again. Hearing comes by knowing what God has said. That's the Holy Bible. That's Scripture. But your hearing is improved as you know what God is saying. But your faith is improved by when you know what God is saying. Personally, for you, to speak audibly for you in your life, then you know that God is there and is real. Abraham, for example, obeyed God when he was called to go out to a place where he was to receive the inheritance, and he went out by faith. How? Because he listened and then he obeyed. He heard the audible voice of God. He heard that and he obeyed. Now, there is the old joke, let me say that about, look, easily, carefully, the old joke about how, well, you know, it's a good thing that God spoke to him every day because we men just drive around lost half the time, right? My father-in-law, whom I love dearly, he said, I'm never lost as long as I have a tank of gas. See, the men didn't get that, but the wee ladies did, you see. But Abraham had heard God's voice. He recognized it, and then he acted on it. That was the important thing. A few weeks ago, Pastor Jeremy gave us some homework. You remember the homework he gave us? He said, take 30 minutes and spend it at the feet of Jesus reading verse Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 4. That verse says this, but Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, it doesn't say every word that came from the mouth of God. It says every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, the wonderful thing is that our hearing is improved as we know what God has said, but our faith is improved. We know what God continues to say as he speaks to us clearly and audibly. Some years ago, when Bill Cosby was still in favor, remember Bill Cosby? He had a wonderful routine about Noah. Maybe you might remember it. Bill Cosby, who said, God speaking to Noah one day, said, Noah, build me an ark. And Noah said, yes, Lord. And he said, Noah, Noah said, what's an ark? He said, well, it's a boat. Build me a boat and build it 300 cubits long. And Noah said, yes, Lord, what's a cubit? Yeah. Well, he was listening. And he was listening, and he was trying to act. Just as any good parent loves talking to their children, your Heavenly Father longs to speak to you. You see, God speaking to you is less about your ability to listen and more about his desire to speak. As he breaks through, he interrupts, he comes in, he gets into our lives and our consciences. His voice in your life is one more product of God's grace, unmerited favor, his gifts to us. Like any conversation, though, you only hear him when you have time to listen. And like any conversation, he also longs to hear from you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine he longs to hear from us? So our Heavenly Father speaks through his word, through prayer, through questions, through complaints. You hear that? Through complaints. His audible voice, as long as we are willing to hear. Some years ago, back in the 80s, when I was praying about and contemplating and had been invited to seek ordination in the Episcopal Church. I did what was part to do then, and went to my local priest and then to the committee of the church and so forth. And ultimately, I was encouraged to go meet with the bishop because he had the last word. So I went to Raleigh, North Carolina, to meet with Bishop Bob Estill, then Diocese of North Carolina. And as I told, I sat down with Bishop Estill, and as you can imagine, I was rightly nervous. And I told him all the wonderful things I had done. I told him all the things, how much I loved Jesus and how I had a life-changing experience, and I wanted to serve Jesus. And as I was doing all that, I could see sort of a odd look on his face. And then he began to speak. And as he began to talk, I realized, well, he's going to send me home. He's not going to let me be part of this. And as I was realizing that I had not told him what I needed to tell him, God spoke to me clearly. It's really the one time that I know I heard his audible voice, so audible that I stopped and said, what? It's the bishop. And finally I said, wait a minute, bishop. And God said this, you haven't told him why you've come. You haven't told him why you've come. So I simply said, bishop, excuse me. Now, you know, you don't interrupt bishops, folks. But he was talking. I said, bishop, excuse me. I haven't told you why I've come. You see, it's cool when you can just repeat what God said. It works, too. He said, well, why have you come then? I said, I've come because I want to be a pastor, to preach the word, to share the sacraments, and to care for God's people. He said, oh, well, okay then. That took 45 seconds. What an amazing thing when God speaks, when we listen, and when we act. When we act. You see, that was life-changing for me, earth-shattering for me. It's only because of that moment some 30-plus years ago that I'm able to stand here with you now and be part of what you and we all are doing here at St. John's Parish Church. What an amazing, earth-shattering moment for me. At the same time, not every time that God speaks is earth-shattering. Sometimes it's simply write a card, make a note, make a phone call, stop to see such and such, do this, or do something simple. Other times it's very simple. Just do something simple that God asks you to do. It's not earth-shattering, but it's monumental. A few years ago, when I was brave, you hear that, when I was brave? I asked Kay one day, I said, Kay, why did you bury me? Now, the answer I expected was, well, because you're handsome. Or because you're fun. Or because you have nice hair. I used to have nice hair, folks, you know. And what she said was, well, God told me to. What? That was it. Well, I'm glad he told you. I'm glad you were listening, and I'm glad you were willing, because God told her to. That was the beginning of what then became our married lives. What an amazing thing. So when you hear, when you act on it, wow, then God becomes, is not secondhand knowledge. Let me say that again. When God speaks to you, for you, God is no longer secondhand knowledge. Hearing comes by knowing what God has said. But faith grows when we know what he is saying. What he is saying to us every day, desiring to speak to us. Then God is no longer secondhand knowledge. And then faith becomes recognizable. Becomes recognizable, becomes visible. Yes, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But when it is acted on, faith becomes visible. Then you hear every one of those pioneers of the faith, when they acted, something visible happened. Noah built an ark when it wasn't sensible. It was in the desert. It didn't rain there. Abraham moved even though he had no idea where to go. Sarah trusted God eventually for that child of promise. This is how faith becomes visible. They listen and they acted on it. Last week I was here at the church office, and Polly Sosnowski was making a prayer shawl. Now, those things sort of confined me a little bit, because it always is amazing to me how you can take a little ball of yarn and produce this big, long thing. Now, I know people know how to do that, and it's not amazing to them, but it is to me. And I said, well, Polly, you know, you're almost done. She said, no, I'm finished, except for the fiddly bits. I said, what's a fiddly bit? Well, she said, that was just to get the little strings, the little extra little piece you got to finish things up, so forth. That's what it took them to buy the fiddly bits. So it amazed me that she was not distracted or concerned about the fiddly bits. That told me this. Don't get distracted by the fiddly bits of life. Don't get distracted by, are you ready for this? The fiddly bits of being wrong. You see, too often we say, wait a minute, I'm not going to do that because I don't know that it's right. Don't be distracted by the fiddly bit of being wrong. The pioneers of the faith weren't distracted. Noah, where's your ocean? Abraham, where's your map? Sarah, are those lines in your face? Hurting Christian, who do you think you are that thinks you can speak for God? St. John's Church. You're going to build a church? Where's your money? Don't be distracted by the fiddly bits of life. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word of Christ. Again, I want you to get this because it's important that our hearing is improved by knowing what God has said, by knowing the scriptures. That's where we do Bible study. That's where we read scriptures. At the same time, though, but your faith grows when you know what he is saying that day, that moment, just for you. And then faith becomes visible, becomes seeable. One of my favorite hymns, it is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. The last verse of that says this, the first line, the last verse says this, and Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. You see, that's the ultimate promise, that one day we will all know, it's no longer faith, we will see it in its reality, in its supernatural, in its heavenly reality. That day will come. But meanwhile, God uses people just like you and me, that faith becomes visible because we hear and we act. So, speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
With my soul. continue our worship by confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, page 109.